Session number 12019. This is Luciana Kuyawinski, part one.
Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in Poland.
In which place?
In Kornica.
How do you spell it?
Kornica. Sorry. Yes.
Whereabouts in Poland is
that? That's central Poland. It's about 120 kilometers from Warsaw, and between Szelce, that's another town.
What did your father do for a living?
My parents, they were owners of a cornflour mill.
So were you a rich family?
We were well off, yes. Not rich, but well off, quite well off.
And did you go to school in Kornica?
No. I went when I was a little child to Kornica, to primary school. Then I went to grammar school in Lublin. That's a very big city in Poland.
Quite a long way from you.
Yes, yes. And I stayed there with my auntie and my two other sisters. We were all at grammar school there.
How old were you when you left school?
I was nearly 20. I left school in 1939.
Before the war?
Before the war, yes. Just before the war, yes.
To get a job?
Yes. Before I get my matriculation papers, I started job because I was in commerce college, you know, it was part of grammar school, which they prepared us for commerce. So I started job like a private secretary because my occupation is supposed to be shorthand typist and typing. So I had very good government job in Polish Petroleum. Very good job, for first job.
It was a government job?
It was a government job, yes. Because all petrol and, how do you say, paraffin and oils and everything, it was government in Poland.
Before. Did you work for a ministry?
No. It was firm with oils and petrols and, you know, they supply whole Poland in the material, you know.
You mean it was a nationalized industry?
Yes, it was.
Were you a civil servant?
Yes.
What do you remember about the war when, on the 1st of September, when the Germans attacked Poland?
1st of September, I was at the office, and 2nd of September, they bombed our office.
Where was your office?
On Main Street in Lublin, on Main Street in that big city, and our building was joined together with National Bank, Polish National Bank, and they 2nd of November they bombed Lublin and they bombed our office. But because we had a special building made before the war against bombs, and you know they were preparing for war. So they didn't damage much our office, you know. They were bombed, but we didn't accept water. Water was broken. That was all. And we still worked. And Lublin was bombed very badly then. There was small airfield in Lublin, and they bombed that, killed a lot of people, and you know that was. And then. The second bombing was 10th of September. And 10th of September, there was second bombing, and they destroyed nearly completely our office. What survived, I had my typing machine, and my chair, and that's all what I had, what I try to save from bombing. And of course, before that, we had duty by telephone, you know, when war broke out. I had to stay so many hours by telephone, because from all Poland, all offices from our business, they used to come to our place. You know, it was on the way to Romania. So they were all escaping from west and north of Poland, and they left all money, all books, all private secret documents, everything left in our office. Even Polish government from Warsaw, they were going by and taking some petrol from our stations in Lublin also.
What can you tell me about the entry of the Russian army into Lublin?
Russian army never entered Lublin. They came to Helm, that another city, and they stopped there. They didn't come, they actually didn't come to Lublin at all. German took over. 17th of September, German were coming to Lublin. So there was no office, so I joined voluntary with army, and I was helping to pick wounded when they were coming to Lublin, to city. And then when I, together with my wounded soldiers, I stopped in hospital, and I didn't go out from hospital for fortnight. I didn't see German for fortnight. And then I had to change dress and everything. You know, I couldn't stop any longer, so I had to go home. And first time after fortnight, I saw first German. Of course, city was full of them. And it was terrible. It was a terrible shock, you know, for me.
How did they behave in Lublin at first?
Oh, we had to walk off pavements. We walked mostly on road, on street, because we were... They didn't do anything to us yet, but we were frightened, you see, and we walked in the middle of the road, and of course they used to go and feel very important and showing off with guns and... but army didn't touch us. It was really all war. I had not much to do with army. It was Gestapo and police, German police. That we were terrified. They kept army partly apart from population.
Did you attempt to join the Polish resistance?
Not then yet, no. I worked in hospital for a long time. Because if you were young, they'd pick you and send you to Germany, you see. So I had a permit from hospital that I worked in the hospital. I didn't take any money, I just worked voluntary, but that saved me from sending to Germany. And then I have nothing to do really with underground until 1943. Then I met partisans, and my sister, my family were already in underground organization, but it was so secretive, I didn't know, I didn't have an idea. But when I came back home to where my parents lived, to village, to left hospital, and came to help my parents to look after me, then I met partisans because they came to our house, and that's how I... you see, it's that's how they join. I joined underground army.
So you joined them in Konitsia?
In Konitsia, yes. We had a private party in our house, and they three, you know, in winter in Poland there were sledges, you see, horses and sledges, and there were three sledges full of soldiers and my husband between them. They came to our house to eat. Because they were hungry and all that, and that's how I met them. And commanding officer then took me on a side, and he asked me if I would join them. And so of course I said yes, and next day one of soldiers came and took me to another town where I had my points, where I had to deliver telegrams and radio parts of radios to my husband's station, and all documents, orders and everything, and from our partisans, and brought them back, different ones, again to our unit. And as my husband probably told you, we were in forests and in villages, and but I was traveling. I was traveling because I was courier, so I used to travel nighttime mostly, you see, and because there was curfew, you couldn't go with documents, false identity cards and guns, and bring people whom the Gestapo was after. So I did all that during nighttime. So I used to travel night and day, stay in town or stay in a village, slept, and then nighttime I started traveling again, all the time, travel. All my job mostly was in traveling.
So you were working for a unit of the Home Army, were you?
Yes, for partisans, yes.
Did you know the name of the unit
which
you were working for?
Oh, yes,
what
yes.
What was it?
It was called Zenon, Oddział Zenon, Partisans Zenon. We call that 34 division for, infantry, or how you say it, you know.
34th Infantry Division.
Yes. And of course I knew, yes, they were all men except me, I was only woman in there, yes.
Did you have any hesitation when you were asked to join the Home Army?
No, I thought, because I was brought, we were all brought on previous uprisings in Poland, you know, before, against Tsar and against Kaiser and against Austrians, you know, because we were divided, Poland was divided a long time ago. And we were all very patriotic. Every Poland, every child used to suck with mother's milk, you know, patriotism. And we were all brought on. So for me, that was best thing what could happen in my life, you know. I don't know if because I was young, I didn't even think ever that anything could happen to me. I was never frightened. Once I was frightened, yeah, because my youngest sister used to walk with me on the street, and she didn't know anything about underground. She came from Lublin. She was much younger than I was. And Gestapo, there was a very long road from a train station to town, and it was river. You had to cross bridge and river, and it was about 2 miles long street. It was street, really. And
where was this?
In Biała Podlaska. That was where my points were, where I deliver telegrams and took telegrams from there, you know, and all orders to partisans. And I noticed that while I was walking with my sister, she came from Lublin for Easter, while we were walking, and I was carrying a radio station, you know, they sent for my husband new radio station.
Radio set.
Radio set, yeah. And it wasn't radio, just normal radio, it was radio that he used to send messages to London. Yeah, transmitter. And I had in the big bag, and my sister under my, you know, arm, her hand under my arm. And I noticed that Gestapo, open car full of Gestapos, used to drive behind us. And once they were behind us, once they passed us, and they were in front again. And they stopped. And then when we passed them, they drive again, after us and before us, and stopped again. And I tell you that I had rubber legs. I don't know how I walked, because I had my that younger sister, and I had that transmitter on me, and I wasn't sure if they were after us because we were two young, pretty girls, or if they suspected me having something, because I came from place where I picked radio and everything. But when we went, were a lot of houses on big street, they just drove off. So I never, there was once I realized what could happen, and I was frightened. But otherwise, I was happy. I wasn't frightened at night. I wasn't frightened in the forest, you know, driving myself. I wasn't.
How did you carry the transmitter? In a case?
Yeah, no, in big bag. I had like a shopping bag, big bag, because they were a bit bigger than that, you know. They weren't. They weren't very big, you know. A bit, maybe. I don't know.
A few.
Maybe
feet.
Twice. No. Not ever so enormous. No. No, then I had to sometime carry quartz, you know, there's some quartz that he, and all cods, you know, I had to learn cod, names of, false names, and, you know, sometime I was carrying on a horse and cart full bags of parcels for soldiers, for partisans, which women send them, you know, because they were short of toothpaste, shaving soap, brushes, or any piece of chocolate or something. So I used to carry them. There were sometimes 5-6 sacks on my cart. But because we had a cornflour mill all around German, around in different places, they knew me. You see, they knew me that I was Miller's daughter. And we used to buy and carry corn as well in sacks. Sometimes, 10, 20 sacks full of corn. So you see, they knew me, so they just passed, let me pass. You see, I never was unhappy and unlucky that they caught me what I was carrying. And one time I was carrying a young captain. He was German, Gestapo was after him from that Biała Podlaska. And it was night time, and it was winter. It was very, in January, it was very, you know, freezing. And he sat on these sacks, and we came to one place where German hospital was, army hospital, and there were guards on the road, you see, and they stopped me. They stopped me, but I said that I'm carrying, corn for the mill, and this is drunkard fellow, you know, and he lay on the stage, and because it was, I don't know, maybe 10 o'clock at night, winter, they passed, because they were ordinary soldiers. They were no Gestapo or anything. They were just soldiers. They let me go. And I was so tense that my horses, because they used to carry me two horses, they took the wrong turn. So I said to that fellow, I didn't know him, I saw him first time in my life as well, so I said, we called one another by false names. We didn't know names, but I knew his pseudo, his, how you say?
Pseudonym.
Yes. So I said, can you get down and take horses by the mouth and pull them back with a cart, because I'm going on the wrong way. So, of course, it was in big sheepskin coat, you know, right to the floor, you know. And also I had a hood on my head and big scarf, you know, because it was very cold and it was long journey all night. And when he pushed his horses, I thought that he jumped on the cart behind me. So I smacked horses and I went as quick as I could, because I was frightened the soldiers might come ask what I'm doing in there. And do you know, in 1 minute, when I was like crazy going with horses, something white dropped on my cart. And I become, you know, unconscious. I didn't know what it was. And it was that fellow. He didn't jump on the cart. He shook his coat off, sheepskin coat off, and he was chasing me and horses as much as he could in the night time to catch me, you know. And he was all shivering, so I left horses And we walked, we couldn't see much on the road, but we used to go from one side to another, and he found his sheepskin coat, you know. It was about a mile left behind. And he sat shivering, and I was, you know, then petrified, you know, that these soldiers might think we were doing something. We were going so fast and loud, and then suddenly quiet. But no, nobody did anything. Eventually, you know, we came to a village where partisans stopped, and he took his coat off, and he jumped into bed between women. There were two, a mother and daughter sleeping in one bed. Jumped between these women because he was so cold. And they jumped out, you know, in the nightshirts and everything. And he has had pneumonia after that, because he was running and sweating, and then he was so many hours driving, shivering. Yeah. But it was funny. You know, sometimes was very tragic, sometimes was very funny. Yeah.
So you were lucky in a way in working in a rural area, in a
yes.
country area.
Yes, because they knew me.
Being in a big city, there would have been roundups.
It was more difficult, yeah, but I had to enter city, yes, with orders, and I had business.
Which city?
I used to go to Warsaw with orders as well, you know, and just before Warsaw uprising, I left Warsaw this same day when uprising, you know, when
started.
It started. And in part of outskirts of Warsaw, I stopped night when Warsaw was already fighting, you see. And all Germans and Ukrainians, they were coming toward Warsaw, you see, or you know. And I was walking out of Warsaw. And I don't know, only God knows how they didn't stop me and kill me then, you know. Because all roads, everything, it was like water running, you know. So many horses, so many cars, so many women which went with you know, soldiers. And I was walking on the field opposite way. And I walked, and then, I don't know how many, maybe 30 miles or so. One day I walked and walked and walked, and then I couldn't walk anymore because I was walking bare feet. I couldn't walk on a field, you know, with shoes. So I had shoes in my hand and my bag in another hand, and I walked with barefoot. And I was then just began my pregnancy. I was just pregnant, you see. And I stopped. And when I stopped that night, a farmer where I stopped came in the morning, and he said, come and have a look. There were quite a few people there stopping, you see. They were frightened to go to Warsaw. He said, come and have a look, what's going on? And they were on main road, about maybe five or so, biggest tanks, Russian tanks, you see. Enormous. German never had such a big tanks, you know. They were coming towards Warsaw, you see. That was next morning when I left Warsaw. And and then quiet, nothing. And about midday, there were no more soldiers, no more tanks, no more nothing. So we didn't know what freak it was, you know. So I started walking again, because I had some papers for my husband to send telegrams to London, and I had code numbers for next 6 months, you know, when front moved. And I walked through Minsk, that's a town.
From and where?
Minsk, but not Belarusian Minsk, there was Warsaw Minsk. And I walked through this town. It was burning, and I only met one person in there, somebody sneaking between houses. And I passed Minsk, and I walked by myself, nobody. And then I walked to Kavushin, that's another town, little town. Past Kavushin, not even one person, because everybody sat maybe in fields, in dug some, you know, holes, and people were frightened, you know, when front comes. Everybody sat in the fields. And when I passed Kavushin, there you know, I thought I'm going to Shelce, to that big town. And from the house, Russian soldiers came out to me. And a woman with Polish woman, she wasn't soldier. And I remember always they had yellow thing on, you know, on their shoulders.
Epaulettes.
Epaulettes, yes. And they stopped me. And they, and he said, Kuda? I could understand, you know, much of Russian because it's very much like Polish language.
What does it mean?
Dokon. Where are you going? He asked me. I said, I'm going home. He said, where are you going from? I said, from Warsaw. He said, it's impossible. I said, yes, I'm coming from Warsaw. And then it clicked in my head, but it was too late. He might think that I'm specially sent by German or something, because how could I come from Warsaw? And so he said to this woman, she spoke Russian, so she must be confident or some, you know, of Russians. So he said to her, to see if I've got anything on me, you see?
Search
me. And she searched me, you know, and I had all these code and everything, all telegrams, you know, like there is battery light, you know, that you switch light. It was flat, you know, and where is little
bulb,
there is space in that. And I had there a lot of golden money, my husband's money.
Coins,
pounds and dollars, because he has deposited when they dropped him to Poland. It was his 6 months' payment, his wages from army. So he didn't take with him. He deposited in Warsaw, and I got this money just before uprising in Warsaw, and I had that little paper with all written things. I learned also, you know, to remember numbers for my husband. But that little paper was there. But because, you know, if it was Russian soldier looking, he will take that, torch. But she didn't. She just turned from one side to another what I had in there, you know.
Did she realize that you had it?
No. She just knew that it was torch. She wasn't interested in torch. And everything was in the torch. And then they stopped me. I couldn't go any further. And they put me on a farm on the other side of this, where soldiers were. And they said, I cannot go any further because Germans inside this town and Russians made ring round. And there is SS division in that town fighting, you see. So he said, there is no road. She explained to me, you know. And he said, you have to wait till we let you go. So I went to that farm, and I was hungry. And on that farm, there was nothing to eat except water, because there was quite a lot of people waiting to move. So they ate bread and potatoes and everything. There was nothing they could give me. And, I was hungry. And then a woman came and she said, we all can go now, because German don't make any more resistance, and the town is free now. Not free, but we can go. And I flew through that shelter. You know, there was burning everywhere, you know, and there were people already there, you know, people came out because Russians, they were already there, you see. And I walked again past that town and went on farm where we had friends. You know, because we used to go to Shelce for kerosene, for petrol, for oils to our motor in our mill, you see. So we always stopped night on this farm and these people.